I remember being about four, and I always used to try and hold my breath underwater in the bath for as long as I could. And I would train myself even then. I just hold my breath, and I loved it. And that really helps now when I'm snorkeling, like, because I know you can control it and you can relax and it's not this panic thing. And it, particularly when you're focusing on photographing something, when you're snorkeling, you're holding your breath, you're trying to focus the camera, you're trying to keep still, you're trying to not let the octopus pull at your camera. And so you can hold your breath for quite extended, I have no idea what time, but quite extended times, which I love. I live in Beaconsfield, so most of the time I cycle down to the water, and it can be any time of day and not necessarily early in the morning. If it's been windy and then it's suddenly glasses off, I'll go down. Or if I've been in Perth and I've been at meetings all day, then I'll go down afterwards on the way home from the train, just because it's like nice to wash all that away. And it's my meditation. It's it's like my lover. You know, I dive into the water. Everything dissipates. I lose the sense of who I am and I become part of that water. And it's very visual. It's very sensual. And I just love that transition. And no matter what the weather or whether there's stingers in the water, lots of seaweed, it's rough, it's always transformative. I always come out feeling better than I went in. There's always something I see that I haven't seen before. I'm always drawn to the darkness of the ocean, and I think that's why I probably see, because a lot of people say to me, where do you see these things? We don't see this when we snorkel. But like most of the fish, the tiny creatures live in the crevices, or they live amongst the seagrass beds, or they live in the floating canopies of sargassum that sometimes wash in, which is like these hot pink jellyfish I just saw last week. And for me, it's being in a situation where you're almost weightless, but you can just observe. So I will spend a lot of time watching one spot of weed, and then I will suddenly notice that actually there's this particular shell, or there's an octopus there, or there's something there. But unless you stop and watch, you don't see these things. You see the schools of fish, etc., which I love. I love being amongst those tiny schools of fish. But, yeah, I was thinking about all the different stories and I thought, well, I'm going to focus on the ones from Manjari, Bathers Beach, and from South Beach. And I might add a couple in from North Fremantle. But, yeah, these are the local things and it's always magical. There's always amazing stuff out there. So I remember there used to be a lot of decorated crabs both at Bathers Beach and at South Beach, but I haven't seen a lot lately. But about 4 years ago, I kept seeing these beautiful decorated crabs and they're sort of like teardrop shape. They're not broad like the normal crabs, they're tiny teardrop shape and they have very long legs. They look a bit like a spider actually, and they're often outside on rocks, and what they do is they pluck algae and they position it onto the back of their shell. And I can't remember whether it's something where they actually use a secretion that's on their back or they take it from their mouth parts. But anyway, so you'll see ones, and they're all different characters, so you'll see ones that look really punky with sticky up straight baby seagrass that they've managed to plant there, or there'll be red and green mottle. And they're so hard to see because they're amongst the rocks with the same algae on them. And then this one day I saw this beautiful bright green one. So I went close and got a photograph and I'm looking at it and zooming in and going, oh my God, that's the outside of a tennis ball. Bright green, luminous outside that it had ripped, probably, you know, one of the dog balls that floated down and it's found it, pulled it apart and stuck this beautiful fabric on its back. And then it had this real punky red bit of algae at the front. It was the most exquisite thing. And I remember just laughing so much underwater at seeing this creature. So it was gorgeous. What else can I tell you about? Ah, the cuttlefish story. Okay, so this is at Manjari, Bathers Beach. I hadn't been swimming for I'd been floating in the water, but I hadn't been able to swim because I had an operation on my hand, so I couldn't do the big stretching out or sort of climb down rocks, etc. And this day I thought, oh, finally, I can go for a swim, use my hands. Yes. So I got my fins, my snorkel, my camera. And I went to Bathurst Beach and realised that there was like seaweed thick for metres from the shore out. And I went, oh, maybe I'll go to another beach. And I went, no, just go in. Just go along the rocks, climb in, go in that way and swim to the middle of the bay. You never go out there. Swim to the middle of the bay. Okay. So, and normally I stick to the shore for, security as well because there's so much in the crevices. So this day I went out to the middle of the bay and I'm just floating around, just using my hand quite gingerly. And I see this big shape moving along the bottom. Like when I say big, what's that, about 50 centimetres? So I dive down and it's this enormous cuttlefish on the bottom and it sees me and it makes its skin go into all these lovely mountainous little peaks and it's changing colour. And so I'm pretty excited because I've never seen a big cuttlefish anywhere near here. So I'm going up and down. This is a few metres down. So I'm diving up, taking a breath, going down again and going up and going down. And I didn't take any photographs because I was just so amazed. I don't take photographs normally when I see something for the first time. So anyway, I'm watching this beautiful cuttlefish and it's watching me and doing all this colour changing. Then it settles and it's just going smooth again. But I realise that I haven't probably been pressurising my ears properly because I haven't swum for a while. Or maybe they're a bit blocked. So I'm getting all these peeps and bubbles and squeaks and I go, oh. So I went up again and went to clear my ears and went down and still squeak, squeak, squeak. And I'm still focusing on this cuttlefish. And then I thought, that's really weird. That sounds like dolphins. And the minute I said that, I looked up and around and I was surrounded by 7 dolphins. I can't believe that I hadn't seen them, but they must have been watching me going, what is she doing? She's going up and down looking at this cuttlefish. And they were in this sort of arc around me. And I just burst out laughing. I went, oh, my God, that's what the noise is in my ears. It wasn't that I wasn't deep pressure. I was pressurising properly. It was all these peeps and squeaks. And there was a young baby. And I remember just feeling this absolute joy. And the minute I acknowledged them, they came in and this baby started spiralling around me and down to where the cuttlefish was and then back up, just in the one spot, just playing with them, basically playing with them. And I was just laughing. I was so happy. So, and I'd already been in the water and I haven't swum for a while, so I'm already getting pretty tired. But now I've seen the dolphins, it's up the ante. So I'm playing and I'm laughing and I'm diving up and down. I've forgotten about the cuttlefish by now. and then, you know, watching these big mothers and the other mature dolphins on the top and then I just hit this absolute exhaustion. And I went, oh, my God, I can't stop, but I just wish they'd actually all go away. And at that moment, they all disappeared. They all went off as if maybe it's uncanny, you know, maybe they were finished as well. But I just felt that they acknowledged that I was exhausted and needed to be left alone. In moments like that, you know, probably won't get the chance again like that. But it was funny. It was so funny. And I was so exhausted. Often when I've told people different stories about what I see, they go, but I don't even know how to snorkel. I can't. So I've actually taught quite a few people how to snorkel, where I've taken them in with me and I've gone alongside them. And I've started to show people to recognise things and look at things. Because when you have that underlying interest and you're not just in the water worrying about things that are going to attack or eat or bite or sting you, then this whole other world opens up. I mean, we know about 2% about the ocean, and yet it's what covers over 80% of the world. So for me, we're so ignorant about water. So I think the more that anyone can learn about the ocean and appreciate that environment, then we will protect it more. For me, it's my meditation, it's my exercise. If I'm grumpy, it appeases me. You know, I just think it's an extraordinary element that we all need so much. You know, we're 80% more of water ourselves. But yeah, if there's water, jump in it. Lakes, rivers, oceans. Thank you.